Hello, Jonah.
Hello, Connor.
Welcome back to another episode of Album Check. This week we're doing Ginger by Brockhampton.
Yes, so
Starboy episode.
Bit of context. Brockhampton, me and Connor love them. They're really cool. They're my personal favorite band. But unfortunately, they've decided to break up and cancel their European tour, meaning we will never get to see them live, and we now hate them. So this is just going to be us hating on them for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's really sad because we like oh, they're playing near us. Let's get tickets. Oh, COVID. But we'll see them next year. And then it's like, COVID again. okay, we'll see them next year. And then this year, when concerts are actually happening, they cancel everything. Like, yeah. 2 months before we were supposed to see them. And we're sad about it.
They didn't even really give a reason as to why.
I mean, I think this is just kind of the fate of all boy bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, any kind of, just because there's so many of them, there was no way this was ever going to be a long-term thing.
The fact that it lasted as long as it has is insane.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I think it was 2016 they put out their debut mixtape. So, like, you know, that's 8 years. That's 6 years.
You literally do a math degree. I love this.
But it's a long, long time.
Yeah. And I guess COVID just kind of fucked them. Like, yeah. They were already, like, coming off of saturation. The whole, like, Amir thing kind of caused a real shift in direction for the music.
Yeah, it never really returned to the way it was before.
Mm,
it was, kind of monolithic.
Yeah, and to have COVID as well, I think it really kind of... Yeah, I think it must have made it hard. But, well, I don't know, hopefully one of them will write, like, a tell-all book in the future.
Maybe. I don't think they're going to have great solo careers. I really don't.
Bareface solo album, please.
I think Joba, he has the most potential.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Because
Joba and Bareface, I'd agree with.
He's, like, legitimately musical. But anyway, point is, we really, really like Brockhampton. And so wanted a chance to speak about them now that there's going to be no more material coming out. So this album, Ginger, this is coming off after Iridescence. And that was a very sort of manic reaction to a key member of the group being kicked out, and it had like a super aggressive and off the wall sound. But they sort of mellow out on this one, and it's sort of like a boys to men moment. I feel like they feel much more sort of emotionally mature on this,
because it's crazy, you know. They were, all of them were like 20, 21, like they're like 25, 26 generally now. You know, so very, very young kind of group. And yeah, going through a lot very, very quickly, you know, combined with the fame and the social problems of being famous, and then the group sort of splintering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess we should just get stuck into it with No Halo.
This is a great... I say this every week, because we pick albums that we actually like.
Yeah. But...
great opener. I mean, I love the guitar in this.
I know.
This little guitar loop. I mean, it's great having that real sort of natural, organic sound in a kind of hip-hop album. It sounds kind of pitched or something. It just hooks me. It really hooks me.
Yeah. I the thing about the guitar for me, it feels very sort of somber, but also optimistic. And that's sort of reflective of this whole album to me, which I'll sort of expand on later. But just the atmosphere that it is created with just these super hollow drum sounds is so, so sort of unique, and it sets the tone really well. And just the chemistry is back on this track immediately. Like with Iridescence, it didn't really feel like they were playing off each other in the same way that they did in the Saturation trilogy. Like, you know, they sort of trade verses back and forth on Saturation. That sort of away with Iridescence. But like the chorus on this, they've got Deb Never. I don't know. Like, I haven't heard any of her solo stuff anywhere. I know she was on the Slow Tie album. But just her interplay with Merlin and Matt on the chorus.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, my God. And like the auto-tune makes it feel like there's so many different voices building up this chorus. Probably my favorite thing about this track, Merlin, despite the fact that he's like the hype man, Merlin's so
fun. He gets like introspective and in this one.
Yeah, and it's like legitimately sort of reflective, and it feels like a sort of significant verse for him.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this album, what I think works really well about it, when you think about Saturation, a lot of Saturation is just like, make a fuck ton of songs. Let's just make a load of songs. And, you know, they're kind of bound like very loosely by some sort of title or idea.
Yeah.
But they're very general, while it kind of, you know, you get straight off on this, it's kind of very clearly about kind of being sort of stuck, acknowledging your imperfections, not being an angel, no halo.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels much more emotionally charged.
Yeah, there's definitely more overarching direction on this album. Not that it's super conceptual, because there's so many sort of competing personalities and egos and everything. I can't see them ever being able to make anything with this like super focused, and that's fine. That works absolutely well for me. I can see it being a valid criticism, but this is an awesome open track. We love this one.
Yeah, one of my favorites for sure.
I remember when the single dropped for this, it was like, oh, this is exciting now. But yeah, next up is Sugar.
Is this their like biggest song ever?
Probably. Like, this blew up on
TikTok.
Was it Musical.ly at the time?
I don't know. But yeah, the fact that like they had like a remix with Julie, who are kind of
I don't really even think that one blew up that much. I think it's the original one. But yeah, but Brockhampton have always had some sort of pop sensibilities. Even though the Saturation trilogy, there is a lot of sort of aggressive songs on there that are just super hard. Brockhampton, they have my favorite choruses. Like, they are so unbelievably catchy. Kevin can write a goddamn hook. And that is,
I didn't actually realize it wasn't Kevin doing the hook on this until...
It's Ryan Beatty?
Never heard of him, but he does a great, great job on it. I mean, it's so, so catchy. I mean, you can understand why this is the one that got so popular.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's cool because it still feels like a Brockhampton song.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got those kind of really compelling verses from everyone kind of like bouncing around. I love Barefaced so much. Like, he should just be on everything. That whole like I love you right bit, it's just perfectly kind of placed.
Yeah, definitely. Again, the use of vocal effects on this. Brockhampton do this all the time. They pitch the vocals up and down. They throw all these wacky effects on. And even though there's six vocalists, which is already a lot. Is there six? Five or six? I don't know. It feels like there's like way more than that, because they can all reach these sort of different emotions by using these vocal effects, which sounds so good. Barefaced, like you said, he has a voice for love songs. Like, goddamn. I just want to be held and sung to sleep by Bareface. That would be amazing.
It's really funny because he's called Bareface, which is not something you think of as being a particularly sweet or romantic name.
There's minimal instrumentation, which happens a lot on this album. And I really love the sort of G-funk-esque synth riffs that come in later on.
There's those little like descending notes on the guitar, and they like, you can hear like the squeaks and it's always like that sort of
they actually played it.
Yeah, they actually played it. There's texture to it, there's atmosphere to it. You can kind of gives it aliveness, which is really nice.
And the last thing I want to mention is I love Kevin's his use of imagery with the only thing in my pocket is my passport or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. that's such a... It conjures up such a fantastic image in your head immediately. Mm. And just, it feels sort of freeing and nice. I really love that.
Good song. Awesome we like. Song.
Yeah.
Boy Bye, I find kind of funny because part of me, it sounds like it's some sort of like elevator music that they've kind of Brockhamptonified. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean by that?
Sort of. I think my initial reaction was that, but it's grown on me a lot since. But anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if like it's not quite a ding. It just kind of reminds me like, I can imagine that they like sampled an elevator or something of this. But yeah, I like this song. It's strange. I think Matt Champion's verse is like absolutely terrible when you actually like, look at what he's saying. Like, it's awful. Like, there's like he says, "Damn, I'm like Kirby. I don't take damage." But like, his delivery is really good. So
it's like
he kind of gets away with it.
Yeah, he is so goddamn slick. Like, he really, in general, he doesn't have the best lyrics ever. He does have some really standout moments on this album and their other projects, but in general, he's not the best lyricist. Like, you've got "My shit bump like a belly when it's pregnant," "Always got the shit like constipated reverend," but he says it with such charisma that I don't care. It's fine. I remember the first time I heard Dom's verse, it just sounded like nonsense because all his words are sort of slurred. Mm-hmm. Now that I know the lyrics, it, like, I can hear it, but it just sounds really weird. Mm. The beat, like you said, is so goofy. It's super, super weird, but in my opinion, in a really good way. It's got it's so much fun. It's got a lot of character to it. But I think this is the first time we see on this album the main problem, that the track list is awful. Well, it's not awful.
I've heard that criticism. It honestly, it really doesn't bother me, the track list. Maybe it's just because I'm like so used to it at this point. That's like, to change it would feel weird.
Maybe.
But yeah, you're talking about like, it doesn't, you feel like they don't flow very well.
Not like coming off Sugar into this is weird.
I just kind of assume because it's Brockhampton, like, they're already like jumping as a group so much in different directions.
That's true.
It just kind of feels sort of on brand.
That is true, but like, if you take the Saturation Trilogy, there's no real focus to those albums, but it never feels like a song comes on and I'm like, oh, this is not the vibe I want coming off that last track.
Mm.
But you know, it doesn't ruin the album, but it definitely holds it back from being better than it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Brockhampton 2, they've always had really weird song structures. Like, there's one chorus in this. It plays mm-hmm. once, and the chorus is supposed to be the bit that you sort of keep coming back
to. I've never actually noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, it only happens once. Again, the track still feels super cohesive and has a good flow to it. And Bareface is rapping. Like, man, he can sing and rap so well. He's so edgy. And Joba's outro is just beautiful, as always, because he's Joba and he's perfect.
I just find it funny that, like, Bareface says, like, nothing in interviews.
Yeah.
But it's like, you've got, like, but there's, like, all this he's doing kind of... Yeah, on the albums. It's crazy.
And he's involved with the production reasonably heavily too.
So no, is he? I didn't know that. That's cool.
I think he's like important to it, you know. What's up next? Heaven Belongs to You. This is a weird one.
Crazy. Like, yeah. It's literally kind of just a slow tie song. And like, slow tie has like a sort of voice that does not work. You can't imagine like slow tie being a feature on like a lot of like rap albums. You couldn't imagine. I can't really imagine like a slow tie on like a Kanye album or like,
no,
like a Drake feature or something that just doesn't. But it works really well here.
Yeah, That this is such a weird little glitch in the Matrix, this song, because you've got the bringing in Slow Tie when they already have an array of talent available, and the beat is also like sort of teasing the I've Been Born Again beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, and but like it's awesome that the imagery of Slow Tie's his lyrics, like there's a war in my head just like the Middle East. He's mm-hmm. such a good I love Slow Tie.
Okay, you say he's such a good lyricist, okay, but I raise you, fuck God, I'm a dog backwards.
Okay, right, yeah, fair enough.
Which is so stupid. Like, it's so, like, I'm 14 and this is deep.
Yeah.
But he says it kind of cool, so it's like, all right. All right, you have it.
I guess that's a case of the match happy effect, where you can say something bad with charisma and it's like, yeah, fair enough. I'll accept
yeah.
it.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I don't have a huge amount to say about this song, but it sounds good. I like it.
I did not realize that they were saying break the law at the end. I thought they were saying like Grindelo, which is like a Harry Potter thing. I don't know why. I mean, it makes a lot more sense now that I read the lyrics. I mean, we on Album Check, despite how gangster we are, we would say obey the law.
Yes.
Generally. But
most definitely. Album Check is in favor of the law. We give the law a strong 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
St. Percy, I think I remember you saying you really don't like this one.
No, it's definitely grown on me. It's probably one of the weaker ones for me. Like, the alien whistle thing, I don't know what the hell it is. Like,
the whistle?
That's a sound in here that I feel... I don't know what the hell it is. It sounds like an alien whistle thing. That's what I've got in my notes.
Fair enough.
Sounds like it'd be really easy to make that sound lame, but it does kind of sound cool. I really like how they play with the sample in this one. Like, the way they've mixed it, it makes it sound like it's coming out of an actual speaker or something.
Yeah.
That's been recorded.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to like seamlessly blend it into the mix. Mm-hmm. It just kind of really gives it a bit of character.
Yeah, definitely. The bass line on this song. It could kill a horse. It's so cool. And they've got that kind of like slide to it at the end of each loop that is super satisfying. This is probably the sort of most prominent example of the monotone flows that Kevin tries out a lot on this project. I know a lot of people didn't like them. I think they're super sick. Like, it fits the tone of the album really well. There's one thing about this song, though. This might be one of those things that I'll tell you and you won't be able to unnotice, but there's like this clicking. It's put there intentionally.
Have they left like a metronome in?
No, well, they have. I think that was intentional, but there's a clicking and like it's rhythmic. So they put it there, but it's just like it's panned too far that it is so annoying to listen to on headphones. On speakers, it's fine, but it's like, I hate it.
Oh, I haven't noticed that, but...
No, I've probably ruined it for you. But, yeah, like you said, the sample is crazy. The way it sort of comes in and sort of merges with the beat is super, super sick. The transition with the huge distorted synth is, like, so high. I wish we got to see that live. I would have lost my mind. Matt's flow... is insane. He has probably the best flows in Brockhampton. He's got the worst lyrics. I don't know what any of them are talking about, even remotely.
No. I mean, I googled who Saint Percy was, assuming that like it was like a saint. And nope, it just comes up with a Brockhampton song.
Yeah. I don't think they're talking about anything, to be honest, but it's hype, so who cares?
I saw a thing on Reddit that was like, Saint Percy was a saint who believed that the devil, the music was a creation by the devil. And I was like, oh, that's kind of sick, but that was just an internet lie. He just made it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I don't think Brockhampton thought about it in that much depth.
No, I don't think so either.
Most definitely not. Oh, right. If You Pray Right, this is such a weird song. Like, why does this work?
Yeah, right, okay, so it's the horn on this. I don't know what type of brass it is. It's completely on its own, And it's like someone has just walked through the track playing it. Yeah. But it's like, but it's fine because it really grooves.
You're
like,
yeah, it's so weird. I remember I was with you. We were on holiday when this song came out. And I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah, yeah, we were. And I was like, what the hell is this? Why is there this goofy, weird horn playing throughout the whole track? Now, I absolutely love it. I get so hyped up whenever I hear it. Like that you're not gonna get this type of beat from really anyone else, to be honest. The Dom, his verse on this, he sounds so like sophisticated and eloquent. Like you'd probably agree he's the best
rapper.
Yeah. Like you could tell he's sort of studied it and honed his craft in a way that some of the others haven't.
He's really, it just feels like he spends more time trying to really kind of get it, like what he wants to put down.
His verses generally have quite a specific theme that like Kevin's verses often lack. The transition from Matt to Merlin on this is crazy. That's that chemistry, that saturation chemistry that I was talking about earlier. That's
things really like pass off onto each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think Merlin's verse is so funny because the whole thing's there's this UK rapper called Skepta, and apparently they asked him for a feature, and he was like, no. But then for his album, which I can't remember the name of, and it's going to bug me, but he basically ripped off the whole Iridescence aesthetic with the thermal cameras and stuff. And even the sound was like reminiscent. So this is just Merlin complaining about him for an entire verse.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. He says like copy paste hard work from the BH house.
Oh,
take food from my mouth.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Which is just hilarious. Joba, man, that dude is a vocal chameleon. He could do everything.
It's like, it's crazy when you think of, is it Heat is the first song on Saturation?
Yeah.
And his, like, your introduction to him is him, like, screaming, like, I'll break your neck so you can watch your back.
Yeah.
And then he can hit, like, beautiful, like, high notes. I mean, it's just, it's insane, this guy's range.
I remember the first time I heard Heat. I was walking to the bus after school. I was like, oh yeah, I read about this band called Brockhampton on Reddit. I'll check them out. And I heard Heat, and I was scared of what I was listening to. So I was
little innocent Jonah.
I don't think this is for me. But then
now Jonah is the one screaming like
4 years later. The outro to this is weird. I used to hate it. I've said that a lot with this album. Like, I was really quite sort of middle of the road on it when it came out. It's obviously grown on me a lot since. But
they have that weird, like, static slowing down sound. It's like, it sounds like part of like the vocals are being, like, slowed down very slightly. Like, it's not just kind of a pitch change.
Yeah. The only thing that annoys me slightly is, have you seen the video for this song?
Probably, but I can't remember.
The outro bit on it is different to the one on streaming services, and it's so much better.
Oh, really?
It's like almost a Kevin solo thing, and it sounds way, way better than this. Not that I dislike this, but, it's frustrating that it was there and they didn't use it.
Shame.
But then the sort of emotional core of the album, Dearly Departed.
Yeah, I mean, this one, they're like pretty explicitly addressing the whole Amir being kicked out of the band sort of thing. And Dom just really, like, and I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but just, he just really kind of maybe gives his best verse that you've heard him deliver, because he seems very, like, personally affected by this, and he is like not holding back,
not at all.
Like when he screams like motherfucker at the end, and then you've got the kind of that guitar that like screeches through. It's really, really powerful.
Yeah, you can just imagine everyone else in the studio like, don't talk to Dom for a while. Leave him alone. But his verse is obviously the highlight of it. But I just think this whole song is absolutely awesome. That core sample that they use is super majestic and emotional. There's these wailing synths throughout, which they sound like someone like screaming, sort of crying, which obviously, given how personal this track is I don't think unintentional. Mm. Like, you have to sort of contextualize this, that Kevin knew Amir since he was like 14. They didn't just get together for the band.
Yeah, for this.
So this was like, this hurt properly. They were losing a very close friend. Kevin's sort of half singing, half rapping performance is great. Why does he say seashells at the end of his verse?
I assume he went to the beach.
But
I don't know. I don't know how it like relates. It isn't like as powerful a kind of line to finish on, especially with the way he says it, where he's like, seashells, as if you're supposed to be like, you know, like, as if that's supposed to kind of full stop the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me, but it is strange.
I feel like it's probably just got some meaning to him that,
yeah,
you know, no one else will ever really know. But yeah, he gives it some pretty powerful lines on this. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, all these verses are tied like so well together by the chorus by Jova. Mm. And it just feels very kind of, oh, what's the word? Like it's emotional, but without kind of tugging super hard at the heartstrings in that main kind of Dearly Departed. It's almost like a ceremony sort of. It's like at a funeral, someone like
front,
kind of reading kind of something, but that's kind of sung. There we go. God, I really what?
You got there in the end.
I got there in the end. Do you ever start a sentence and you're not entirely sure where it's going, but you just kind of hope you find your way there at the end?
I have several moments like that every time we do this podcast, so don't worry about it. I love Kevin's line on this. I must keep creating truths and hooks for my to get up out of this hell for myself. Like that, just need
seashells.
Seashells. to sort of get it all out. Like, Kevin, I feel like you should probably go to therapy, my guy, but this works too. Fair enough. Matt's verse, I love too. He's got two of my favorite lines on the song. Looking immaculate, no one in sight. So it's like, you know, you sort of at your best, I guess, but lonely, which is sort of a weird sentiment to express. And standards are high, expectation is low. That's that low self-esteem he's expressing. I hope you're okay now, Matt. But yeah, this song is powerful. This is definitely a highlight in their discography for sure.
Mm, definitely, definitely.
Next up, I've Been Born Again. This was the first single.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Damn.
I remember being awake at 3 a.m. and watching the video for this.
I've forgotten so much of like the album. I would have swore No Halo was the first track, but I guess...
No, that was the final single.
Are you serious? Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that came out like very shortly before the album actually dropped.
Damn. Well, I mean, I love the start of I've Been Born Again. I mean, the piano chords with the kind of whispering just sounds so sort of sinister, like sort of Slim Shady, but not, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they kind of sprinkle it in kind of later on at points. They just kind of, those piano chords just sort of pierce through, re-accenting the things. I love how they do that.
Yeah, for sure. The beat, it's super minimalist. The sounds they've chosen are just super light and sort of breezy, but it still has that trap bass line, which I really, really, really love. Like, man, I know sort of 808s are really oversaturated right now, but you cannot deny it. There's just nothing like a big 808 bass line. Kevin's flow, again, I think is great. I know people hate it, but it is what it is. I think it sounds really cool. Oh my god, the vocal effects on Merlin, it's the like super quick delay, and the way that his verse plays off from Kevin, with them repeating the same line.
Yeah, the Dennis Rodman line.
Yeah. Like, actually, you know, I think Merlin could have a good solo career. If he gets the right producers, he could be so hype. Like, he could get people absolutely turned up, because he's such a weird dude as well. So, yeah.
I mean, like, I hope so. I hope so, but we'll see.
We'll have to see. Joba's pitch down verse is kind of weird, but I vibe with it. And Matt's outro is so, like, hype. This song is about absolutely nothing, but it still, I get excited for that last bit every single time. It's
really, I just sick. Really like that line, they ain't knocking no more, send them out the door.
Yeah, it's sick. But yeah, there's not a huge amount to say about this one.
I don't think. It's just kind of like, this is a good Brockhampton song.
Yeah, it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Ginger, though, the title track. Like, oh, I love this. I love this one so much. I mean, this really is kind of, you know, you understand why this is the name of the album, because I feel like it does kind of sum up the how it just feels overall. It's that melancholy, but like slightly hopeful and reassuring.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This album, it feels like
therapy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like you've just gone through something really hard, but someone that you really love is hugging you.
Which is the album cover.
Yeah, like, literally. It just, that's the way this whole album feels. And it's weird because they said, leading up to it, that it was,
it's like, gonna be like a happy, like, yeah, pop album.
And it was like, what are you talking about? This is so sad. But anyway, it works nonetheless. Yeah, again, I remember having a discussion with you. You were like, man, this track's awesome. And I was like, this track is whack. But now this is a highlight of their entire discography for
yep,
me.
Yep, 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 yep.
The beat, it sounds like a robot, like whirring and sort of buzzing. Super cool. The drums are, it's like you want to dance to them, but they're still melancholic. Like, it doesn't detract from the vibe of the other instrumentation at all. The Joba, I presume it's him providing the backing vocals. They sort of come in and out. It just lifts the track up so much. Kevin's auto-tune harmonies. Man, I know I say this all the time, but auto-tune is amazing. It's so, so good. I get really annoyed when people sort of hate on it. And just the overall sort of theme of this song is so comforting, just about having a place with someone, like, no matter what. It's like being wrapped up in a warm blanket. It's just, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, this one feels also slightly more poppy than all the other songs. I feel like it kind of feels quite in line with the whole boy band theme. I know they've kind of distanced themselves from that a little bit as of recent, but yeah, you kind of really feel it on this one. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It feels, this song, you feel like, okay, this is a cohesive unit.
Yeah. Just because you said boy band, it reminded me, on the two Europe shows they did in London, they were selling merch that said God Save the Boy Band on it, despite Kevin saying it wasn't a boy band anymore. But on the back of the shirt were the tour dates for all the places they didn't go to. Like, what?
So they probably just had all this, like, stock, yeah, and they were like, we're going to offload it.
Like, come
probably
on.
Still cost, like, 40 quid.
Oh, yeah, it did. Like, it's insane. Like, artist merch is just out of control these days. But next up is Big Boy.
Yeah.
Are you sus of this one?
It's fine. I like the start. I kind of like the way they say, like, big boy, the way it's pitched, and almost the enunciation almost sounds like the way you're, like, insulting someone, like, oh, you're a big boy now.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. But, you know, when it starts with that, you know, then I, you know, if I had another, I hate the start of that so much.
Really?
It just, like, cuts through what is quite an emotional start. but it just comes in like a truck bursting through, and not in like a not in like a cool way, in a just a car crash kind of way. It, yeah. I mean, when that kind of line continues on, I think it gets better, but just that, I just wish that start of it came in a little softer.
Yeah, it is sort of scratchy and harsh, but I still really like it. The hook on this, I think, is so goddamn catchy and just really eloquently expresses the feeling that you should have your life together. It feels like a parent talking down to their kid, like, come on, you're grown up, you should sort of have everything together, even though literally no one does. But the production on this, the super somber synth and piano in the background contrasted with this massive 808, just these really interesting percussive textures, I just think they sound really cool. I don't have much more to say about it beyond that, but I think it's sick.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the bridge with Juba, that kind of lost cause and a lost child. Yeah. It's quite short, but I think it kind of packs quite an emotional punch in a short, in quite a short time. But yeah, I mean, it's not one I like. It's just kind of, this is grand. Yeah,
fair enough.
Don't have a lot to say on it.
Then Love Me For Life.
How do they make it sound like that at the start? Like it's coming out of some like small little metal analog device.
There's
thing.
Quite a few sort of plugins. Like there's one called RC20 that I use, and they let you emulate different sort of setups like that. Exactly how they did it in this case, I don't know. I couldn't do it that well, but it's not difficult per se.
It sounded really interesting to me.
It is cool. How do you feel about this track overall?
Yeah, I mean, I find it kind of funny because Kevin is doing that kind of like Kanye rap. Ewan Kanye is doing his like lazy rapping.
Yeah. But it still sounds cool.
You know, that's fine here as well. I kind of wish there was something a little more. It works with the kind of pace of the beat. But yeah, although the Merlin line, fuel ain't made out of fossil, is that true? I thought that, why are they called fossil fuels then?
I don't know, but I would not quote Merlin as an accurate scientific source, I will be honest.
That's true.
This is how fake news starts, Connor.
I mean, I really could have googled this before now. If only there was some way to find out.
Look, man, I don't know. I don't know science stuff. But anyway, to me, this is a super sick interpretation of trap music. It's got the massive bass line, like absolutely goddamn huge, but more sort of tame upper textures, especially that lead synth. It's sort of descending. It sounds absolutely gorgeous. Kevin's flow, you mentioned that, is really cool. Even though it's sort of lazy Kanye flow paired with the auto tune, I think it sounds sick. Oh my god, Joba's verse sounds so good. He does carry on the flow for a little long, where it's like, okay, move on to the next thing. But his voice is just absolutely angelic. And Merlin's outro is so funny.
The dirt on me finna blossom is a great line.
It's just the murder man. Like, murder man, what do you mean? Who are you gonna murder? I don't know, but Merlin's so funny. I love it. Love it.
Yeah, I know you know this, but he has that tweet of like, I bring my Nintendo Switch to the strip club. Which is so funny.
Yeah, I can see him possibly being like a sort of Tyler the Creator personality in a few years. Like, people latch onto him because he's super weird, but not so weird that he's completely detached, just like mostly weird. But then probably I'd say the best song on the album, Victor Roberts.
Yeah, I couldn't contest that. I think I prefer Ginger, but yeah, I can't.
Okay.
All right, here's the thing, right? This guy, Victor Roberts, he has the verse, right? Like the opening long stretch. And you Google him And the only thing that comes up is this Brockhampton song.
Yeah.
That's like all he's done. There's like nothing.
Nothing else.
And it's like fantastic.
This is the one of the best verses on a Brockhampton project, which is ironic considering he is not in Brockhampton, nor anywhere near as famous as Brockhampton. He's literally just Dom's mate.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think they met playing like Xbox Live or something.
Are you serious?
And he just happened to rap. I don't even think he has any interest in pursuing a music career. He just does rap. And had this verse that he couldn't sort of find an appropriate beat for, and they were like, "This fits on our album. You want to put it on there?" But
damn,
this song is goddamn amazing. The production is brilliant. Those sort of reverse swells paired with the piano have such a warm feeling to them. His Victor Roberts' lyricism here is immaculate.
The opening line, you know, "My fucking Power Rangers couldn't protect me from that LAPD kick door," like,
says so much.
Like, god, the image of a child, like, you know, playing with your Power Rangers toys and the police are raiding your house.
Uh-huh. Like, it just immediately, that one line conjures up a perfectly vivid image in your head of what's going on. He's sort of describing this traumatic experience as a child, but he's so descriptive of the environment that it's like you can see it. And I think the sort of story is he was in this motel. I got this from like a radio show they did with him, but he was in this motel, and they'd been looking after this kid who's trying to sort of get out of the drug dealing life, but he'd left a bag with them and it had drugs in it, and the police raided to get the stuff, but his dad had like two strikes and a third, and you know, he's a big trouble.
The Bill Clinton three strikes policy.
So they have to convince the police that like they really didn't know what was in that bag, and they like just about get away with it. They're like, all right, yeah, fair enough, it's not you guys involved. And that's such a messed up thing to observe as a kid. Like it's insane. His flow is so off kilter and weird, especially considering that there's no drums to dictate it. The fact that he finds those pockets of sort of space to get his words in is so good. Like, there's a lot of huge rappers who do not have this kind of understanding of the craft. It's really, really impressive. Ryan Beatty's chorus,
Thank God for Me, is so beautiful and delivered in such a way that you can kind of read it kind of two ways. In the like, thank God for me that I'm here and doing stuff, or like someone who's passed and being like, thank God for me when you see him, sort of.
Yeah. Like it goes back to that feeling I mentioned earlier of like sort of being wrapped in a warm blanket. I generally interpret it the more optimistic way, because I like that song for this reason, that it's sort of like it's been bad, but you know, it's gonna be okay. And yeah, that chorus is one that has stuck with me for a long time, and Bareface's bridge complements it so well. That "If you're hurting, love yourself with my heart" is so good.
Brockhampton just do not miss on those closing tracks.
They really, really don't. Not
they
at
just
all.
Always kind of. No, I've heard it criticized that they kind of tend to do a very similar sort of ending for everything, but I don't care because they're all great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this song is just stunning and a perfect conclusion to, I think, a really quite strong album. Mm. It's not their best work, but
Might be my favorite, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's interesting.
I know, like, people like really, really love the Saturation trilogy.
Yeah.
I really like them. I don't have that kind of personal connection the way kind of you do, or what the way you know, people who are there for it at the time.
Yeah.
For me, this feels a lot more cohesive. Definitely. I always talk about kind of leaner albums, which is kind of the opposite of what Saturation is, even though that is kind of what they're going for, and I like that aspect of it. But yeah, it might be my favorite. I don't know.
That's cool. That's cool. See, like, yeah, Saturation, specifically the first one, works so well for me because it, even though it's sort of scattered and it, the things I often compliment my favorite albums for, it doesn't really fit that mold. But at the core, it was just like a bunch of 20-year-olds trying to figure out who the hell they are. And that's obviously going to be resonant to a young dude like me and who loves hip hop. You know, that's right up my alley. So yeah, I'll always love Saturation more for that reason, but this is definitely a more focused piece, and it's like that Boys to Men thing that I mentioned earlier. The emotional maturity here is much more sort of prominent.
Definitely. Damn, rest in peace, Brockhampton.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be back.
No.
I don't know.
No way. No way.
It's highly possible. Doubt.
It's a shame because they said they were going to do like one album and they were done. And I kind of really liked that. I like it when it kind of bands end.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's cool.
Might make a TikTok on it, but like the fact that the Beatles, part of the reason I think they're still so highly revered is because they ended on Abbey Road and there was nothing else. Like that kind of legacy is
cemented,
you know. Yeah. It's not like Rolling Stones where they're still kind of churning out shit and you're like, all right, just...
okay, grandpa.
literally even though, like, you know, Paul McCartney's still actually still doing great solo stuff. I'm going off on a tangent. So I like it when things end and they kind of but God, I just wish I could have seen them when we had one more.
Yeah. Luckily, I think Roadrunner's a reasonably fitting conclusion, especially with the light part two. But anyway, yeah, that's off topic. Rest in peace, Brockhampton. Rest in peace, Album Check. This is our last episode ever. We're done. We're not.
Yeah. We've been cancelled.
yeah, man. I'm cancelling us. Thank you for listening. Goodbye forever.
Bye.